You're live with the best minds of Black America.
You on now.
You're live with the best mind in Black America, Meeshawn Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. As you all know, on May 25th, 2020, George Floyd was brutally murdered by Derek Chauvin, age 49, a police officer at the time. Derek Chauvin pressed his knee into George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. George Floyd begged for his life. He called for his mama, and he also said, "I can't breathe." In my opinion, George Chauvin had an intent to kill. Video of the murder showed bystanders pleading with the police officers to stop while other officers watched and did not intervene. His death is ruled a homicide. I found out that the police in Minneapolis use force against Black people at 7 times higher rate than of whites. Also today, the 3 other officers were charged with aiding and abetting in the murder of George Floyd today. I want to mention this. The systemic racism by the police goes back into slavery. Slave patrols started in South Carolina in 1704 and quickly spread throughout the 13 colonies. Vigilante empowered tactics were used to enforce laws related to slavery by white volunteers. They would viciously hunt down enslaved people and return them to plantations where they would be punished. Now, do you believe that city councilmen, mayors, prosecutors, police officers that are Black often legitimize the mass incarceration of African Americans? Does anybody have a comment on that?
If you have a comment, press 1. Anybody that call in, if you have a comment, press 1. Well, my comment is that the modern day police is the police today is your slave patrols, your modern day slave patrols, when it comes to our community. And when it comes to our community, say I'm talking about the Black community, whether it's suburbs or urban, they don't protect and serve. They patrol. And I think that the mayors, the Black mayors and the Black police chiefs do try to legitimize the high incarceration rate of Black males in this country. I mean, they have no other choice. They are part of the political process. They're part of the political game. Now, don't you know that I have not heard from the Black presidential candidates that were running, I mean, that were candidates a few months, they were candidates a few months ago. The only one that I heard was the mayors, the Black mayors. You know, I haven't heard from senators, congressmen that are Black. It's not a whole bunch of them, but I have not heard from them. The only ones I've been hearing from are your community activists. You know, so, yes, they do try. I mean, they're part of the American political structure. You know, they have no other choice if they want to be on a ticket and get reelected to office.
I agree. And also, there were a lot of protests and riots sparked by George Floyd's murder. And there's still a lot of ongoing protests and unrest. But we, as Black people, we are used to riots. Riots have been going on, protests, because it's been happening for a very long time. In 1965, there was the Watts riots, which began with Marquette Frey on an African-American being pulled over for suspected drunk driving and roughed up by the police for resisting arrest. Everybody knows about the Los Angeles riots, because of the Rodney King beating. Everybody knows about the Ferguson, Missouri with Michael Brown. And now, and there were others in between that, but now we have the George Floyd riots. So what do you think we could do about this? Should black people be policing black people?
Well, they try that.
Or
hold on. Let's see if this person got something to say.
Or what?
Let's see if this person. Caller, 8051. Would you like to answer that question?
Should we be each other?
Yeah, that was the question. Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
I mean, like having black policemen in black community.
I think they should. But one thing, you have to look at black policemen. Sometimes they are our worst enemies, too. Once they get a badge on, they all go crazy. And they really don't do their job of policing anybody. And furthermore, white people got to stop thinking that we still their slaves. They don't. I had an office person I worked with to come to a club that my husband owned in a black neighborhood. He told me he was afraid to come over there. I say, why? Have you ever heard of us lynching white people? And he never said another word to me. But I think that we need to recognize and come together and admit what the white people are doing to us. Half of the people don't believe it. They say, oh, it's okay. It's okay because it haven't touched them. They don't want to get involved. And even the black leaders, half of them, I think, are in the white man's pocket. That's why they don't do anything. They need to stand up and realize that we've gone too far without being free. Even on my job, 3 years old, and I stopped them dead in their tracks because I told them, you're not going to have me a slave. I don't ask for any favors. I tell you, treat me like you treat everybody else. I don't want you to do nothing. Me, if I wasn't qualified, I wouldn't be here. No, I've been around black policemen, and the black policemen around the country should stand up and be counted. They should stop white policemen from doing harm to their own race, and some of them turn their head. It's time for us to stop turning our head. I'm not, as you would say, a violent person, but I'm tired of it myself. I want things better for my children, my grandchildren, and anybody else in this world that's black and being mistreated. I live in a Kangan laws on the book and sundown laws, and they still believe that we're less than dogs. And I like to tell them I'm a queen. They stole me from Africa, and I know who I am. Yes, I think we should police our own, and then we should treat our own like they're human. Back to you.
Well, hold on for a second. You have another caller, Michonne. Hold on for
okay.
a second. Don't go nowhere, 8051. Don't go anywhere. You're on the line, 4982. You're on the line. 4982. You're on the line. I guess you don't want to say anything. If you have something, if you have a comment.
Hello?
Yeah, 4982. I'll put that back in the queue. Go ahead, Michonne. Go ahead.
Okay. Also, with the riots, we have to talk about the aggressive policing that is done in the black neighborhoods, and especially to black males. Because if a black male can't even walk down the street, drive down the street, or anything without being harassed by policemen, and the majority of them are innocent, what do you think we could do as a community to get together and stop this? Does anybody have any ideas?
Well, to me, you can't stop it, but that's their policy. That's their policy. They are encouraged to stop us. They're encouraged. Back in the early 2000s, in several cities in the United States, back in the 90s, several cities in the United States adopted the Stop and Frisk law, and where they could stop you without probable cause in the black neighborhoods. And it was called Stop and Frisk, and started by Rudy Giuliani when he was mayor in New York City, and was adopted by other major cities in the United States. And so it's a policy. Have they calmed down the past couple of years? I don't know. But they profile. What they do, they profile young black men and black men in general. And so they pull us over, they stop us, and we don't have ID. If we don't have any type of identification, guess what? We get locked up for 24 to 72 hours, without being charged. It just sent us through the system. So that's their policy. That's their policy. That is the criminal justice system policy.
I totally agree. But what can we do to get these policies changed? Because obviously the oppressors don't value black lives. And since we value our own lives, we have to do something about this, because we cannot go on like this. It's not working.
Okay, can I say something again?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's just like when they have parents, teachers, associations, meetings about their children in school, and most of the black parents do not attend. You have to. And you also have to attend the city council meetings to find out what laws or whatever they're trying to pass in your town. And if you don't go, and if you don't show that you care, they can do anything to you. That's part of the reason where I live, things are so bad. We don't show up to be counted. If you ask for nothing, you get nothing. What we got to do is start meeting them on their own person and reacting to it. And we have to come up with a plan for ourselves and stop taking what they offer us. We need to give them what we want. And that's the only way you stop them from policing us. If you don't show your concern, they say it's okay. And it's not okay. There's a lot of people out there who are talking their house, but they will not talk in front of them or go where they can be counted, because they do take attention to what you do and how you do it. And when you go and keep putting your face in front of them, and numbers count, you got to get out and tell some of these people you do not have to accept what they're trying to give you or make you take. I work in a place, there's me, I'm the only black woman, and there's a black guy. They claim nobody is applying. No, they're lying. They don't let anybody know when they're hiring, and they hire their friends or somebody else's sister, daughter that works there. But me, I let them know. I wasn't afraid yesterday. I'm not your slave today, and I definitely won't be your slave tomorrow. And I'm not afraid to stand up and be counted, because this has gone on too long. And I can really say what I want to say. My mother's gone to heaven. I was nice while she was alive. She's gone. I can let go now and tell people just what I want to. When I was 5 years old, she took me to a bus station in my city where I live right now. And I was told that I could not touch anything. And I'm looking at everybody else picking up toys and everything else. And I said as a child, it'll never happen again. And believe me, I do what I want to do, because I feel like God made me free, and I'm a stay free, and I'm a die free. So people are going to have to stop talking about what's not right and start doing something about it. It'll never end, unless even right now, with everything that's going on, they cannot forget, because history repeats itself. And it seems like history is repeating itself once a month. And we have to stop that. And everybody wants to say, well, we didn't do anything to you. Maybe you didn't, but your mom and dad did. And as long as these good old white boys is alive, we're going to catch hell unless we stop them.
All right. All the callers that got a comment and want to participate in the discussion, just press 1. All you have to do is just press 1, and we'll get to you.
Any other comments?
Well, I just have a concern. I feel that when all this died down, how many people you think are going to attend these local town meetings, the city council meetings, and what have you? I mean, in our community, it's hard for people to go out to the schools to parent-teacher conferences, you know. So I would just go and strike the only time we are interested in the issue is something like this. We have to wait till something like this happens, and all of a sudden everybody want to participate. By then it's too late. People lost their lives. But if you catch it from the beginning, if you go from the beginning, and because numbers show strength. And also, especially in the local politics, you must vote. You must send your that represents you. You must send a person, a representative that represents your needs and your wants of your community. And the only way that a representative going to know that if people come out and voice their opinions. Do not wait till somebody is dead. Hold on. Let's see if 6120 wants to. 6120, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or a question? 6120.
Who was that?
I guess they just want to listen. Go ahead. Go ahead, Michonne.
Okay. I also think that with all the racism and discrimination has contributed to black people and their self-hate. And what I mean by that is there are people out there lightening their skin, bleaching it. Women putting perms in their hair, trying to change their features that they were born with. And I think all that contributes to their self-hate, because actually if you loved yourself the way you are, you wouldn't be trying to change. So there are people out here not only hating themselves, but wouldn't even date someone in their own race, because they look at someone else in another culture and look at them and they see beauty.
Well,
so
I contribute that to I contribute that to mass media. I contribute that to the media. They show us images that they think is acceptable. And it took a long time. It took a long time for media to accept dark-skinned black people. They was always putting somebody light as the movie star or light brown. It took them a long time for them to put dark-skinned black folks on the TV screen. So it's the media, it's the magazines, it's the billboards that show these type of images, and we fall victim to it. We fall prey to it. You know, it's like we're being scandalized. You know, and the plastic surgeries, like you said, the lightening of the skin and what have you. But that's all from the media. You know, they're just starting to accept dreads. They're just starting to accept dreads. Before that was a no-no 15, 20 years ago. But now, you know, that's the image. That's the image. And just that, when we look at the mirror, we just got to be proud of our features. And we got to remember we are the original people on this earth. All cultures come from us. All cultures come from us. I mean, that's what they said. That's what their science discovered. And the oldest bones was found in Africa. So it's not like I'm saying it, just picking something out the air. This is something that they said on their history channel, that the oldest human bones is found in Africa. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? We're the original people. And we started civilization. And we got to start, you know, teaching our children real history. Our history. We got to study their history. We got to know who they are. You always got to know who the enemy is. But we have to start, you know, studying our history. There's more to history than Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. I mean, it's I ain't got nothing against Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, but I'm saying there's more brothers and sisters in our history that made a lot of contribution to American society. And so we got to start being proud of ourselves and our compliments.
I agree. And we also have to demand racial justice. And we have to demand that they end police brutality against our people. Because our people do have a right to protest.
Yeah, and we're probably going to be protesting for the next 50 years. We're probably going to be protesting against the next 50 years. Because let me tell you something. I don't know how the listeners feel about this, but I'm going to say this. The American system had never been the best friend to the black man. And what I mean by the black man, I'm talking about black man, black woman, black child. You know, the American system had never been a friend to the black man. And so it's going to be equality as long as they are in power. And now they have global power. As long as they are in power, believe you me, they're going to find many strategies, many policies to suppress us and oppress us. And they will use people that look like us to be the oppressors. Now, that's what they're doing now.
I know all that is going on. Also, when you're out protesting, you do have a right to protest, and if you get stopped, ask if you're free to go. And if the police says yes, just calmly walk away. You have the right to record. The right to protest includes the right to record, including recording police doing their jobs. The police can order people to stop interfering with legitimate police operations, but video recording from a safe distance is not interfering. And if you get stopped, police cannot take or confiscate any videos or photos without a warrant. And if you are videotaping, keep in mind, in some states, the audio is treated differently than the images. But images and video images are always fully protected by the First Amendment. The police's main job in a protest is to protect your rights to protest and to de-escalate any threat of violence. If you get arrested, don't say anything. Ask for a lawyer immediately. Do not sign anything. Do not agree to anything without an attorney present. And if you get arrested, demand your right to a local phone call. If you call a lawyer for legal advice, law enforcement is not allowed to listen. And police cannot delete data from your device under any circumstances. So if you're out there protesting, make sure you know your rights. And always stay informed. Does anybody have any comments?
Or press say one anything? If you have comments. Press one if you have comments.
I have a comment.
I'm going to say this. Somebody have a comment. Here you go.
Okay, I can go.
Anyway. 6120, you're on the air. 6120, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on? I just wanted to make a comment with respect to how to bring down police brutality in the community, and I think the first thing that you have to bring down is the crime in the community, because number one, you have to realize who sent them. In the case of George Floyd, it was somebody in the, I guess, in the store who assumed he had a fake $10 bill or a check, or a fake check or something to that
effect. Yeah, a fake check.
Yeah, so I think it all starts with our value system, though. First, we have to value each other, then value our education, and from that down, we can go ahead and start putting, in place systems that'll help us bring down the crime in our area. Because when police are dispatched, they're dispatched based on the crime rate. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it, if crime is happening in the neighborhood, you can expect somebody there to flag down the police. So I think it all boils down to that. We have to bring down the crime in our area. I mean, if there's no contact with police, then there's no brutality. It's as simple as that.
So you think that not having crime will stop police from coming into the community and harassing
people? You're going to always have patrols. But what I'm saying is they sit down and they look at the city, they do the crime, they dispatch police based on the crime rate. That's part of why the police are in the area. And the other part is that you have crimes that actually are being committed and people flying down police when these crimes are committed. That's what I'm saying. So if you wanted to get the police from in your area or out of your face, the first thing you have to do is bring down the crime rate in your community. It's as simple as that.
Well,
you have to go stealth mode. I can't hit what I can't see.
I guess you got a point.
I usually do. I love your show, by the way. What is your name, Michonne?
Yes.
Yeah, love your show, just so you know.
Thank you.
Okay, I do have a comment. Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm talking to the gentleman that just got off the phone.
Yeah.
What you say
is very true.
What you said was very true, but there's exceptions to your rule. Okay, I live.
No, we can't outliers. Those are random issues. You can't do nothing about that.
No.
Those are random issues.
Okay, it is. We do need to bring down the crime in our area, but where there's, I'm talking about the crime That's the same crime in the white neighborhood when they are not policing them. They police us just because we're black a lot of the time, even though you might not have a lot of crime in my area. And I am in southern Illinois, and I've been here for 73 years, and I know the place. It has not changed. Regardless, they even attack young black men by how they dress, which is their right. White boy can dress the same way and wear the hoodie and never get stopped. I go to work every morning following the speed limit through Energy, Illinois. They will pick me up and stop me if I go 36 when it's 35, and I see white people speeding by me every day. So it's not really the same. We need to teach our children at home, and parents need to step up to the plate and raise their children and stop letting the children raise them. Because in my household, I was the gang leader. They had to belong to my gang, not somebody else's. And I think the black-on-black crime is ridiculous. And they get, shall I say, some outside intervention on how to keep up a ruckus in your own neighborhood. But I think the police could do a better job. All I want is fair treatment. They don't have to do nothing special on crime for me. Just treat their case as they treat mine and vice versa. But the parents they could have a whole lot to do with this crime in raising their own children. I'd rather raise mine than the police. And I don't believe that they're going to tell me how to discipline my child either, because they want to discipline them. But it's a whole new ball game out there, and it's a war on black people, and it starts with the president. He wants to eradicate us from the face of the earth. And if we want to change now, we better get rid of him. And all those out there who have not registered to vote and talking about they don't want to vote for Joe Biden, they want to do somebody else, you better get smart and get that white man that's already in power up there and act as a doggone fool in front of the whole world. He wants to be Hitler. And he needs to be stopped. And one way to stop him is get him out of office. He's already trying to hack the judicial system where they going to sentence us to hell and not let us out. And we can do something about it. There's enough of people of color, and I'm not just talking about black people. The world is populated with people of color, and stop listening to the white man telling you that you are a minority. They are the minority, and that's why they are afraid and trying to get rid of us before we realize that we're the one with the power, and we need to start executing that power.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Can I respond to that? Because that was kind of all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So let me start off by saying the Democrat Party is a ripoff, and wise men want no part of it. Jim Crow Joe is one of the most racist, anti-black candidates that you could ever vote for. Look around in all your communities. Primarily, most police fatality happen in Democrat-ran areas, so that's the first thing. Also, she mentioned that you'll get treated differently if you're a black person based on how you dress. That might be true. We can't stem out all the racism in America. There's always somebody who won't see the humanity in a black person and vice versa. My point is this. If you want to bring down the crime rate, you have to bring, if you want to bring down the police violence against black people, you have to bring down the crime rate in your community. That's the first thing. Again, fewer contacts mean less less risk that anything can go bad between blacks and cops. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any more comments?
Sure.
You have another caller. Hold on, Michelle. You have another caller. 4932, you're on the air. 4932, you're on the air.
First of all, hi, everybody. I love the show.
Thank you.
What the gentleman just said just a minute ago is incorrect. The only people who white supremacy respects are the ones who are economically developed. You have to have an economic development in your community in order for you to get out of system or fight against systematic racism. It doesn't start with this, because there's crime in everybody's community. But the thing about it is you got racist cops going to big old cities that ain't never even been involved with any black person. So this is a reaction. It's just like what Malcolm X was saying. We react, right? We're not being proactive and getting involved in our communities economically. We're so busy playing the crabs in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? And as long as you allow them to run your cities, your states, your towns, your country, you are going to always be at the bottom. And yes, there are other people who get targeted, but number one, the black community gets targeted the most because we are the least as far as the economic development. Asians don't vote all day, but they get their way. Whenever this so-called pandemic came around, they was asking for reparations, and they ain't even been here. They are like 5% of the population, and then even till this day right now, they're up there making big economic moves. Everywhere you go where there's an Asian place, they got lines going around the corner. They only respect the ones. Power only recognizes power. It doesn't recognize you being all good, because there's black people being good all this time. We tired of being good. It ain't about being good. It's about economically developing in your community.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, so can I respond to that? Because the guy's misrepresenting what I said. Either he joined the conversation late, or he didn't fully digest what I said. My first comment when I first came on was this. You have to value your education. You have to value two things. Number one, you have to value yourself. Two, you have to value your education. The guy spoke about economic development. That all starts with you valuing your education. Once you have an education, you can go out to the economy and say, I have a skill set, and now I'm willing to leverage that skill set for income. We don't have a skill set to leverage anything. So that's one of the primary reasons why it always falls back to crime. And as the guy said, a crab in the bucket situation. But, yeah, I just wanted to make that comment because the guy is clearly misrepresenting what I said. I started out by saying education. That's how you develop the crime. You have to have a skill. That's why Indians are able to come here and start out with six-figure incomes. And in many cases, they're blacker than we are. Now they can speak the language, don't have a Social Security number. But when you go to Silicon Valley, they all start out at $150,000. Why? Because they have a skill set. You know how to write codes, computer codes. They're engineers. So that's what I wanted to respond to that. So the guy needs to stop misrepresenting what I said. That's the first thing. And I yield back.
You never mentioned anything about education. And number one, you can't get education.
I did mention education.
Hold on, I'll let you speak. You can't get an education without having some money, right?
I think the public schools here are free, but not only that, but let's look at the reality here. I got people that come from African third world countries that dominate based on the education that's here free. Because when they go home, they have to pay for education. Not only that, but you got people like Frederick Jones that educated himself. So So it all boils down to whether or not you value education. You move in the direction of your dominant thought. That's the first thing. So even if you don't even give it to me, based on my mindset, I'm going to take it, Swift. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's my mindset.
All that is great, but all that is all great. But what good is it whenever they kill him?
Swift, you ain't hear what I'm saying. You can't take there's always somebody who is not going to see the humanity in you. I'm trying to bring down the rate. That's what I'm saying. But if you want to keep it on that level, let's do this. That's on the Africa. And I can tell you, right, keep in America,
black
sounds way better than Africa, because if you go to Africa, you're going to get your ass beat by a Kenyan cop. I can tell you that's from firsthand account from my time in the military. So don't try to make it all black and white, because if you go to Africa, you're still going to get your ass beat.
Bro, I already know this, but listen what I'm getting ready to say.
So stop trying to make misrepresent what I'm saying.
Let's respect each other's opinions. Let's respect each other's opinions.
Stop trying to misrepresent what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Let's respect each other's opinions.
Anybody got anything else to say?
I also want to say to the brother, no disrespect to him, because no disrespect to him, but I just that's what was on my mind, but no disrespect to him.
Can I say this?
Okay.
Black women are the most educated people in the world, but yes, they make the least amount of money. So education is not the key.
Oh, that's
the key to everything.
That's right. And let me follow up this here. I agree with
that.
Black women are the most educated. And they are the number one asset that the black community has. But somehow they've been outsourced to leverage on behalf or to advocate on behalf of Democrats instead of the black community. So that's a problem for me. I don't know about anybody else, but that's a problem for me. When our number one asset is out here lobbying for Joe Biden instead of black America, their bucket list is not our bucket list. I don't care about what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer want. I'm concerned about the viability of black America.
I agree with you on the voting thing, because if nobody's voting in our stuff, then I'm not voting for them in the first place. Number one, they need to be starting to give us some reparations. That's the number one thing. And number two, The number two thing is once we have our reparations, we can develop our own stuff. We're way, way more high-tech and more individualized intelligent than any other race there is. Because one thing the brother was saying was, we are the beginning. We are the number one. We are the gods and the goddesses.
This is true.
So
this is true.
The thing about wholeheartedly agree with you as far as the voting thing, because it's never worked. We're sitting up there waiting for other people to do our own for us. They don't have our own interest in hand. They don't know what
this
we
is
want.
True. This is true.
I just got done going off on these races online all day. People who coach me and everything. I had to put it to him. I'm saying, you sitting up there worried about these people looting. I got to worry about if my kids are going to make it home safe, or any of my family for that.
True.
You know, I don't care about your loot. I don't care about your business, because you sure don't care about mine. I've never seen no stimulus, home or at my business. So we have to economically sound and get our own stuff together. And the thing about it is we don't have representation.
I mean, we got the Congressional Black Caucus. So what you're telling me is that the Congressional Black Caucus is a front group for the Democrats, as opposed to being a front group for Black America.
Right.
True.
They're more democratically. They're more on the political end. All they care about is Democrats. Democrats. Vote for Democrats. I ain't no voting for no
Democrats.
They're just as racist as the
Right. Exactly. And here's the reality. Under Democrat leadership, man, we keep taking L's. For example, gentrification. Every time we got to move, it's always in areas that's ran by Democrats. D.C., Baltimore. What happens? We're not socially economic strong enough to hold down our area. So when white folks decide we want it back, guess what? We like refugees in a war zone. We got to pack up and roll out. Because under Democrat leadership, they didn't leave us strong enough to hold down our area. That's the reality.
So it has to become in order for them to become a constituent, like if you notice, President Trump, he's going to go to his constituency because guess what? He's getting paid by them.
Right.
So that all still comes back to what? Economics. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And the rest will take, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, this is true. You know, we got to get economically, we got to get strong enough, but it all starts with our value system. Oprah Winfrey used to say all the time, she go into the black schools, the only thing we're concerned with is cell phones and tennis shoes. She's trying to talk about education and how you can use it to leverage upward mobility. Nobody cares. So just tell me about what was the famous thing that Jada Pinkett used to always say in this rap, you want to hide stuff from a black person, put it in a book. Nobody's interested.
There you go. There you go.
You have to develop your skill set. That's your earning power. Your earning power is everything. In terms
there
of economic basis, it all starts with your earning power.
There you go.
If you don't have any earning power, then you're on the outside looking in. Indians can come here and put white boys against each other and force them to pay them at a higher rate. But when you don't have a skill set, you can't do that. You got to take whatever they give you. $5 at Hotel, Motel 6 cleaning rooms or something. We don't have that skill set, that earning power.
That's right.
Indians show up, give me 250 Facebook. He can put Facebook against Instagram just because he know how to do computer code. They got a skill set. Don't speak the language, darker than us, don't have a social security number. We got to value education. That's where it starts. That's where the economic base starts at. When you don't know, you got to read.
That's right.
And I ain't saying you got to get a formal education, but you do have to know something beyond a high school education. You have to know something.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you guys for a minute.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, so what do you think we should do about these school systems in the black communities that's not up to par? How can we change this?
Well, in respect to the school system, what you want is a school building. And the way you do that is you got to be stingy with the black vote. We want majority black schools. We want to switch out the curriculum. In other words, the only thing that's failing in these schools that they claim, quote unquote, is failing is the curriculum. Because we got plenty of bright and intelligent kids at these schools that just don't go by, you know, don't operate well off the standardized testing system. But if you turn them loose on the economy, and a lot of them turn out to be hustlers, you can see how well they do because they are bright and intelligent. A lot of comedians, a lot of entrepreneurs, same thing. I didn't do well in school. I wasn't with this standardized system. But that doesn't mean I wasn't bright and intelligent. So the first thing we need to do is majority of black schools, we need to have our own curriculum in it. We need to put our own curriculum in. Take the curriculum out. Now, unlike reparations, it can't swindle us on the funding because the schools are already funded. So don't hit us with that move like you're trying to hit with reparations. Well, where's the money and who? School's already funded today, Slim. All you got to do is remove your curriculum. We got enough black educators who can sit down in the room, drum up our own curriculum program, and put it in there. Let's get the ball rolling. Just keep the schools funded. They've been funded. They already funded.
Well, I agree. That is a good idea. Does anybody else have any other comments or statements?
Well, thank you, and I yield back.
You're welcome. So, obviously, we need to be economically well in order to get this education beyond high school or grants or loans or whatever it takes to be out there to get in a workforce so we can get these higher paying jobs. So what can we do to keep black educators that are up to par, that is above and beyond some of the teachers that are out there in the communities that are not doing well? And what I mean by that is I talked to some educators, and they said they had some teachers in Cook County, Illinois, who couldn't even pass a standardized teaching test, but they couldn't fire them because of the teachers' union. So does anybody have any comments or solutions to that problem?
Well, the I feel that the education in predominantly black communities are really failing out children and not teaching out children. And when you send, they are teaching the same curriculum they've been teaching for the last 60, 70 years. Okay? Instead of updating their curriculum, have a curriculum that can have our children more competitive in the market system and able to obtain a skill, like my man would say, obtain a skill or get some type of formal education, whether it be a college education or a vocational education, where they could be marketable in our community and or where they could start their own businesses. Somebody said earlier, you know, they had to go get jobs. Well, that's what we've been doing for the last 100 years. That's just begging the enemy, begging of a culture to hire us to make them rich instead of using our skills and our education, and education is the key to progress, as well as good behavior, good habits, positive behavior, and positive habits to advance our own communities. We got to really stop making other cultures rich. You know, we spend with them, we work for them, and while our communities are becoming undeveloped. So we have to really start using our education and our skills to upgrade our communities. And the thing is, when we go, you got to remember, a lot of our teachers go to predominantly white colleges, and they're only coming back to teach what they have been taught in these predominantly white colleges. And what does that, even though we may need that, but we have to really start getting our children looking at more sciences, mathematics, reading, because we don't have a good percentage, high percentage, when it comes to those math and sciences courses in high school. And other cultures like Pakistan, Arab, Indian, you know, from India, they like always number one. I think it's called STEM, the technology, the science technology courses. They're always number one, and they are developing their communities, even though they don't face the same racism as we do. And also, to better their education, far out their students, don't you know the Japanese children spend an average of 2 hours a day on their homework when they come home from school? How many average days do our kids spend doing their homework, doing their math, doing their science projects? And we got to educate the parents to become more involved. And I know it's difficult, especially when you have 80% of black families are single parent. I know it's difficult after working a hard day, being the breadwinner, and now you got to come home to two or three children, you know, with different needs and wants, and you got to tend to, but that's what you have to do. You're a parent. That's all part of being a parent. So we also got to strengthen our family and parenting skills. And it's all connected. It's all connected.
Thank you, and I totally agree. And also, I think a lot of children could use positive mentors, and we should also have camps for our children where they can learn how to code and do mathematics and for the sciences, and teach them when they do go to college, go to college and get a degree in something that pays very well instead of just taking anything.
Mm-hmm. So they could start their own businesses and become entrepreneurs and business owners instead of having to beg other cultures to hire them.
That is true.
And you got to start with a generation, too. So we're the only culture, you know, we graduate from high school, we graduate from college, we beat the pavement, we beat the concrete, begging for jobs. You know, we get married or we have children and whatnot. They grow up, get a diploma or get a degree, get a skill. They got to beat the pavement, ask others for jobs. Instead of we have our own businesses, we can hire our own. And we can keep the money and the resources of our community. Instead, as soon as we get a couple of dollars, we want to move to diverse communities instead of developing our own communities.
That is true. Because if we did it, they did it before with Black Wall Street and other communities.
All over the country.
So it can be done.
Harlem, Bed-Stuy, Chocolate City. That used to be, well, D.C. ain't Chocolate City no more. You got one in Illinois. We call Polk County. What was that town?
There is, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you got 1 minute. You got a minute and a half, Nishawn. You got a minute and a half.
Okay. I want to thank you all for listening to The Cutting Edge with Nishawn. I'll be back on the next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions.
Hold on, let me...